So, a couple of things before I start. You might notice that my voice is sounding, you know, a little bit awesome. I'm trying to impersonate Brian Houston tonight because we've been at Hillsong all week. So, really though, I feel like I've got a real word from God about this, and I really want to share that. And so, I guess the deal is if... Like, I'm going to try and give my all and give my best, and it'd be awesome if you could give it back. That'd be good. And like, we were at Friday night at Hillsong, and Jensen Franklin was speaking, and people were standing up and screaming. So, you know, if you feel to do that, you're welcome to it. Like, that'll be okay. And, you know, yeah, so I'm going to get into it. I'm going to pray again. God, thank you for your spirit that's with us, God. And thank you for the word that you have for us and for your word, God, that it's alive, that it's truth, and that it can make a difference in our lives today, God. And I pray that you would just open every heart and every life to hear from you, God, because I believe that you have something to say to every person, God. And that, Lord, you are always here. Your presence is always here. And God, I pray that we would be able to feel it tonight and be open to you, God, and what you want to do in our lives. Amen. Awesome. So we're calling this series this week, this few weeks, I think it's actually longer than a week, so stewardship week sounds a bit funny, but it's called My Church, and I'm excited about what this means for City Life and what this means for Wollongong, and what this means for our lives, because I really believe that God has just an incredible thing to do in us and through us, and that he is going to move and he will build his church and he's going to do an incredible thing. And so, like, it's called My Church, and that's about taking ownership and each one of us taking responsibility for what God has called us to do. But really, it's really God's church. And the Bible says that God will build his church, and really, I think it's not about me or it's not about you, but it's about God using us for his glory, yeah? And it's about his plan. And the question for us is, will I build my own house or will I build God's house, amen? So that's kind of really what I'm going to talk about tonight. And I think that this whole thing, like you'll see on your seats, we've got like the pledge cards, and we'll talk about them later. And so it's easy to look at it and think, oh, this is just about money. But I honestly tell you that it's not about the money, but it's about the heart, yeah? And really, if you resolve the question of your heart, then the question of finance is irrelevant, and it won't even matter, yeah? Because, so honestly, I'm not going to ask for you to give money to the building fund. Because, you know, if your heart is not there, all that will happen is you'll just get bitter about the fact that you gave and think, oh, if I hadn't given that money, I could have bought this. So don't bother if that's not your heart. But if your heart's there, then I don't need to ask you to give money, amen? So in a way, like, this seems like a bit of a pointless message, but I guess my aim or the thing that I really feel like God has for us tonight is to talk about our heart and what God has for our hearts, amen, and what he's going to do, yeah? Because it's not about, like, being selfish. It's not about what I can get, and the my in my church is not about meeting my needs or the church meeting my needs, but it's what can I do for my church to see the kingdom of God advance and expand and to fulfill the call of God on my life, amen. And God has a call for your life and he has a plan for your life, and not one of us are left out of that. He is going to do something significant, and I just encourage you to get on board with it. You know, I heard this quote from C.S. Lewis the other week, and he said, everybody will be used by God. The question is whether you'll be used like John or you'll be used like Judas. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty heavy, but it's a good question. Where God, like, will build his church and his purpose will be fulfilled. And the question is, will I be a part of that? Will I do my all and give my best to be a part of what God is building, or will I leave it to somebody else and be noticeable in my absence from it, yeah? So my message tonight is really simple. Basically, like, my life as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is not my life. It's not my own, but I was bought at a price. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20, says, Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he bought me and he bought you. He paid the price for my life, yeah? So if I truly follow him, if I truly believe in him, then my life is not about myself and it's not about me. It's not about what I can get. It's not about what I can do, but it is what can I do to fulfill God's plan? What can I do to do whatever God wants? How can I be used by God for his glory and his purpose? And so it can't be what can the church give me? What can I get? Do I get a nice feeling when I come to church? Are people nice to me when I come to church? They're good things, but that's not what it means to follow Christ, yeah? Doesn't mean to attend a church service. It means to honor him with your life and give him your all. You know, I looked up stewardship and what it means, and it means, wow, just stay with me. Means a person who manages another's property or financial affairs. One who administers anything as the agent of another or others. So basically it means your life is not your own. Your life, my life, is a gift from God, kind of on loan to look after, yeah? And God says, I'm going to entrust you with your life and with your purpose and with my church, his bride, to do what I have called you to do, yeah? And as a steward, it's not what do I do with what I've got, but it's what do I do with what God has entrusted to me. You know, when somebody entrusts something to you, you can't just do whatever you want with it, yeah? Everybody knows that. Like if somebody borrows like your, oh, thanks Josh. Somebody borrows your car, they entrust it to you. You don't expect them to like hoon around the streets doing burnouts, go through a few red light cameras and like empty the fuel tank and then go, there you go, yeah? Now hopefully you wouldn't do that with your own car, but you get the point. You know, when you've been entrusted something, there's a certain amount of respect that goes with that, yeah? A certain amount of trust that says, I'm going to honor what this person has given to me because it's not mine. And it's the same with our life. And so often we live our lives thinking that it's our life and I want to build my kingdom and I want to get whatever I can get and I want to do whatever I want to do, yeah? But God has given you your life as a free gift, an incredible gift of love and of mercy and of total just incredible, amazing grace. And so will I use that incredible gift to build my kingdom or will I use it to build the kingdom of God? Yeah. You know, what will I spend my life on? And I guess the one thing that I know above everything that I know really is that Jesus spent his life on mine. And on yours. That Jesus spent his life on me. And so what would I do with that, yeah? So if my life is not my own, what would I do? This is warm. That's lovely. So that's a bit better. And so I just had just a few thoughts on, I guess, what would my response be? What could our response be to this knowledge that I'm a steward of my life, I'm a steward of my finance, I'm a steward of my job, I'm a steward of my family, I'm a steward of the people that I'm connected to. You know, you're a steward of the people that you're in relationship with. Like, they're not yours, they're God's, yeah? And so the first thing I was thinking was that, like, if I've been bought at a price, if my life is not my own, then I can't live for my purpose. I need to live for God's. You know, we live in this world that's just consumed by their own purposes, yeah? Consumed by the things that they want to do, consumed by the things that they can get, consumed by what they can build for themselves, yeah? And what we can do to build our, like, kingdoms, if you like, and the things that we would do and the things that that matter to us or that we can build for ourselves, and you just try and build up as much as you can before you die. And Galatians, it says this in Galatians 2, verse 20. So I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now my life doesn't belong to me anymore. So the question can't be like, what do I want to do? But it's, God, what do you command me to do? And we react to this because we're selfish. We react to this idea that we would just have to give our all and just do what we're told, because like, we don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that, yeah? But selfishness and doing your own thing, that's not the culture of heaven, yeah? The culture of heaven is to honor God and to go after him and to go after his purpose, not my own purpose, and not the things that I think are a good idea, but the things that God has placed in my life, the things that he wants me and he has called me to do, amen? You know, Jesus gave himself for me and he gave himself for us. And so I will give my all for him. Not my own ideas, not my own purposes, but the will and the plan of God, yeah? The purpose of God. In Matthew 16, 24, 27, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says to them, if anyone would come after me, if anybody would like really follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it, or what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with the angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. You know, God's promise in this passage is that if I lose my life for him, then I will find my life in him. And this doesn't just mean like, you know, you hear about people who are martyred for their faith, who die for their faith. Like that is like, he's talking about that as well, but he's not just talking about that. And to lose your life for God doesn't mean to just physically die. It means to give up every day. Paul talks about it as a living sacrifice. As every day, giving yourself up to God for his purpose and his plan. And his promise is, even though it doesn't make sense in the natural world, his promise is that when I lose my life, I find my life. But he says, if I try and get my life and I try and keep my life to myself, then I will lose it. He said, what good is it if I get everything in the world, but in the process, I lose my soul? Like, what's the point of that, really? So the first thought was just like, I can't live for my purpose. If I know that God has given everything and he's given me my life to be a steward, then I can't live for my purpose. I need to live for his purpose. And you can already see the second point. Yeah. So the other thing, like, if I'm a steward of my life, God has given that to me and entrusted that to me for his purpose, then I can't depend on my riches, but I can depend on his riches. And I was thinking about this today in terms of what I would do for the My Church offering, for the building fund, and how like we can look at that and think, I'm not rich enough. Like, I don't have lots of money. I'm not a rich person, so maybe like I can't do very much. But I really think this is small thinking. And in a way, it kind of rips off God. Because if God has bought my life, then why would I feel limited to pay like and invest in his church with just my own effort? Like, why would God do that? Why wouldn't God provide all things so that I can be generous, yes, so that I can do more? Yes, he would. And there's actually a scripture for that. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 to 11, it says, God is able, not I am able, but God is able to make all grace abound to me. So then all things at all time, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity result in thanksgiving to God. You know, whenever I rely on my own strength or my own effort, I'm going to be limited. But God is limitless. And I serve a God that says that he will provide all my needs and he will make me rich in every way so that I can be generous on every occasion. I don't need to rely on the thing that I can scrounge together to give, but I can rely on God to give out of his store, out of his treasure. Now, I can look at my bank account and go, there's not much there. But if I think about what God has, then there is no limit. Literally no limit. It's not just like God is really rich, but there's a point where you can count it. So he actually doesn't have a limit. And so I can live and I can give out of that and not out of the things that I think I need to figure out. In Philippians 4, it says that my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that you should try and meet your own needs or meet each other's needs according to the riches that you have. But it says, like, God will meet your need according to his riches. You know, that's a really different statement. Like, if you say to me, oh, Andy, I need some money. According to my riches, I can give you so much. If you go to, like, Bill Gates and you say, hey, I need some money, according to his riches, like, you can get a lot more, yeah? That makes sense. You with me? So if I come to this offering and this building and say, well, according to my riches, I can supply this much need. Like I can supply this much for the need. But if I say, okay, well, according to the riches of God who created everything, then that's limitless, yeah? And so like the prayer that I have for this building fund offering and for my life is that I will give according to how rich God is, not according to how poor I am. Amen? Don't rely on what you think you have, but rely on what God has for your life. Amen? And what he has and his riches. Amen? And if I have given my life to God and I'm going to seriously follow Christ and deny myself, then I can't leave it to other people. But I can be used by God. No, I can't sit down and think that this is really for somebody else. And I'm talking to every person. Because I think sometimes when people say, like, this is for everyone, you still think, no, this is for everybody except for me. Because really, he's not talking to me, he's talking to the person next to me who would normally think that it's not for them. Yeah? Am I the only one that thinks that? Good. But he's actually saying, was that a yes to I'm the only one that thinks that, Mitch? Thanks. I'm actually saying God wants to use every single one of us. Yeah? You know, I think our expectation of God can be pretty poor sometimes. In that we think that he couldn't use me, or he couldn't do something with me, or he couldn't like build his kingdom and build his church through me and by me, yeah? But what if my expectation is that I believe that God is going to do something incredibly significant with my life? What if I believe that God has an incredible plan and an incredible purpose for my life and for your life, but for my life, where he is going to use me to build his kingdom and to build his church, and it's not about the person next to me and what they can do, but it's about what will I do for God's kingdom? What has God got for me to do? You know, in Esther, if you've read Esther, it's the story of this woman, Esther, who is living in Babylon, and the Israelites have been captured, and the king wants a new wife, and so he has a beauty pageant, basically, and decides that he likes Esther. And so she ends up being the queen of this empire. And then she's in that position and then this guy that's like the king's like advisor or whatever, you can read the story, it's in Esther. He tries to convince the king to kill all of the Jewish people, of whom Esther is one, yeah? And so her uncle comes to her, his name's Mordecai, and he says, you know, you're in this position, like, with the king, where you could go and talk to him and tell him not to kill everybody. And she's scared because if she goes out of turn and talks to the king and he doesn't like what she says, then he would have her killed. Like, it was really a real threat and a real fear. But I'm really struck by what he says to her. Mordecai says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. And I was really struck that, you know, God will build his church. He just will. And we've already seen, like, we've been incredibly blessed and just literally given land and property. God will build his church. I have no doubt of that. And you don't need to be a part of it. Because I really believe that if you don't, someone else will. God will use somebody else. But don't let that take you off the hook, yeah? Because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have been placed, you have been positioned, you have been called for such a time as this to be used by God for his glory. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be the person that was used by God, not the person that turned God down and saw somebody else get used by him. Why would I want somebody else to be the one that managed to fulfill God's plan and purpose while I sit back in fear and just let everything go, yeah? Why would I do that? Because I know God's going to build his church, but I want him to use me to build his church, yeah? I want him to use you to build his church. Do you want that? You know, I really was thinking about this and thinking about, well, what is my job? And I think it's so easy to say, well, I'm like the youth pastor, so it's okay. I don't need to raise lots of money because I can just preach about it. But no, I don't want to do that at all. I want to make significant contributions. I want to go outside myself and see something new. And I want things to grow in my life to a point where I can give significant amounts. And not be limited by what my job is at the moment or what like income comes in at the moment. But say, God, you've got a bigger purpose. You've got a bigger plan. You are going to do something in me and through me so that I can build your church and your kingdom and I can make a difference in my city and in my world. Amen? So I really encourage you and challenge you to not leave it to somebody else. But to understand that you can be used by God and that he wants to use you for his purpose. His desire, you know, is to bless you so that you can be a blessing. His desire is to make you rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And don't feel limited by your situation. Don't feel limited by your income or by your life or what's going on at the moment. Like, because, you know, God is not limited. And we don't have to be limited, amen? We can do what God has called us to do in his strength and in his power. Amen. It does not rely on me being amazing. It does not rely on me having brilliant ideas and just going out and making loads of money. It does not rely on that, but it relies on, you know, God giving you brilliant ideas. God providing, God blessing, God putting it on your heart. But I honestly believe that, you know, it might take you hard work. It might take like a lot of effort, but you're living for God and your life is not your own. And so giving and working for that is not about striving. It's not about trying in your own strength, but it's what God is going to do in you and through you that is significant and will do something amazing for his kingdom. Amen. I really believe that God is going to build his church and that like all of us can be a part of that. Yeah. And if you're not, then he'll build his church. But if you are, he'll build his church with you. And that's what you want to be. You know, that's the place that I want to be. Yeah. Don't think that it's someone else's call. Don't think that it's somebody else's job. But understand that it's yours. And that God has got you in that place. And ask yourself, what will I do? What will I do Yeah? Will I give my life to God? Will I give my whole life to God? Or will I keep it to myself? Yeah? Will I go all in, or will I kind of sit halfway and throw in some change? Yeah? You know, if I figure out this question, then life is simple. And what I do with my life and what I do with my resource, that's simple, yeah? Because my life is not my own, but it's Christ who lives in me, amen? I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you have blessed us with, God, and that you make us rich, and you have made us so rich. And God, I just pray that you would just have your way, God, that your Spirit would just speak into every heart and into every life, and God, that you would fulfill your purpose in our lives, God. And I thank you that you will build your church and ask that I would be a part of it. Thank you, Lord. Before, like, I talk about the pledges and all that stuff, I just want to focus for a minute on just your relationship with God. Because, like, that's the truth, that Jesus, he spent his life for you. And he gave his life for you, and Jesus died on a cross to take away the punishment for everything that you had done wrong and everything that has separated you from relationship with God. And because of that, and because of that sacrifice, I don't have to strive. You don't have to strive or work, but you can accept his love and his incredible grace and have relationship with God and eternity in heaven. And so if you want, like, Jesus to be in your life and you want a relationship with him, and maybe you've never thought about that before, or maybe it's been stirring in your heart, then I want to just pray with you tonight. So we're all just going to pray together, but if that's you and that's really speaking to you, then pray this and really pray it with all your heart and mean it. So the prayer's going to come up on the screen. We'll all pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Awesome.